He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council producing Melody interning. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And as we do every single Wednesday, one of the highlights of the week, 9 o'clock on Wednesday, can only mean one thing. It means midweek mock time.
It's time for the Braden and Fitz midweek mock. Follow us on Twitter at 102.5 The Game to vote for the draft you like best.
So do what time it is?
Now, Braden and Fitz are on the clock.
It's a snake draft. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. We've drawn the order, as we do every single Wednesday. We pick an order, and we pick a topic, something we're going to midweek mock, and then you guys tweet us and call us to tell us that we've lost our damn minds. That's what happens every single week.
And most segments.
Today will be no different. Just get your thumbs ready, at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz. By the way, at the end of it, you will be able to vote. If I'm not mistaken, I think I won again last week. So
I think you did.
I am a little on fire at this point. Things.
What, have you got two in a row or something?
I think it's two in a row and like four of the last five or something.
Yeah,
so
I think it's four of the last five.
I think. So far, on fire. I am the man of the people.
Yeah.
That's probably going to end today. So today is a very, very broad but specific topic all at once.
Oh.
This is very easy. You guys are going to overthink it. All right, but it's very easy. It's just favorite day of the year. All right, so favorite days of the year. And
this can be
everything from Valentine's Day to the opening day of baseball season. It doesn't have to be a specific date.
It can be sports related. Could be holiday related.
It could be life related.
Personal related, yeah.
It could be whichever you want.
So you and I are the only two that are married. If you pick your anniversary, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So
it'll make you look bad that you didn't?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm so confident that there are days I love that I don't even have a big board for this one. So Julian Council is actually our first picker. So Julian is on the clock first with a pick of any day through the entire year that you can have. Your favorite day of the year.
My favorite day of the year is obviously the first day of April, also known as April Fool's Day. By far the greatest holiday in all of American holidays.
Is this pick an April Fool's joke?
No, it's not, because it's not April 1st. But pulling pranks on all my friends and family members is just one of my favorite pastimes. So I really enjoy April Fool's
Day.
And
some of us think April Fool's is the most overplayed thing in the history of the universe.
I will be honest. I was banking on Julian not going with the traditional pick out of the gate because I am picking second. So I'm doing cartwheels and running hysterically like a maniac towards Christmas. So I'm all in on Christmas.
Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? Which one?
Ooh.
24th or 25th? You only get one of those.
That's tough. I am going to go with Christmas Eve. Christmas
awesome.
Eve is bigger to me than Christmas.
I'm with you. I like Christmas Eve as well.
Christmas Eve. My first
Christmas
pick out the gate. Yeah,
we do all, and everybody's split on that. We do all of our family holiday stuff on Christmas Eve.
We open the presents on Christmas Day, but like Christmas Eve is always about like family and everything. So
awesome.
Christmas
Yuletide
Eve.
Yuletide carols.
I go. Yeah,
eggnog.
There's lots of eggnog. I go. So that brings Melody is up. Intern of Science.
March.
Brett Favre's birthday.
March 14th.
Anybody know?
The Ides of March? No, that's the 15th, right?
15th is the Ides.
I dated a girl that was born on March 14th.
It's National Pie Day.
National.
Now that's good. I like that.
No, it's P-I, not P-I-E.
Oh, that's the most nerdy thing. You realize you could have gotten that one in the fourth round, right?
No, but that's at the top of the list.
3.14,
blah,
blah, blah,
blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah. Because people always celebrate with pie.
Okay.
And Fitzy hates pie.
Yeah, I do.
I can't believe I get to do this. I get my two favorite days of the entire calendar year. I can't believe I get to do this. Thanksgiving, folks, is by far the greatest holiday of the year. It's not even close. It's dedicated entirely to football. And I'm taking the national championship night. That is my day of the year as well, whatever day that is this year or last year, whatever. I'm taking the natty in college football and Thanksgiving. I am running and sprinting to the podium with Thanksgiving. Thank you very much, folks. Thank you for giving me that. I'm very grateful for all that you have given me.
You're welcome. That's tremendous. Thanks. So you have Thanksgiving and the national championship night.
College football. Yeah.
Okay. So that takes us right back to Melody, intern of science.
October 23rd. Anybody want to guess this one?
Nope. Wait. 10-1-0-2-3.
Is it a palindrome or something?
I don't know. What is 1023?
Why does our music bed come in midway through the draft?
It's Mole Day. Avogadro's number, and we celebrate with guacamole.
Oh my God.
Guacamole.
Who doesn't
day?
Love guacamole?
So mole day as in M-O-L-E.
Yes. Yeah.
Not the animal.
Yes. Right. It is the number of molecules in a mole. 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
Holy shnikes.
Nectar of God.
I was just glad those weren't anyone's birthdays. That's why I had to take them.
I think you might have missed the point of the exercise.
No. I love the fact that she's not pandering.
Fair point.
I would have taken this out of the gate, obviously, as my first pick.
Yeah, I'm shocked you didn't
But
do
I
this.
Didn't because value in the draft. I felt like it would come to me in the second round. Halloween is absolutely the second biggest day of the year for me. And that brings us back to Julian Council. Julian's, like, not even... He's deciding if he wants to partake.
Sorry, I got a phone call. There's other things going on.
Yeah, I know.
My second favorite day, my year revolves around this day. This is my beginning of the year. This is my new year. And this is, you know, the end of my year. It is Oscar Sunday. Love the Academy Awards.
Good pick.
I wait for that day every day and all the wonderful movies that come out, not including the ones that are out currently right now, which are all terrible.
Okay, so you guys... you're right back on
That's
the clock.
That's an interesting
Julian.
One. That's
so
interesting
Julian
one.
Has
like
April
like
Fool's
that.
Day and
like
Oscar
that.
Sunday so far. And he goes right back on the clock.
Well, let's say...
he's like, I've used all of my days. Those were the only
2 days. You realize like Selection Sunday is a day and Final Four is a day and first weekend of the tournament's a day. You love college hoops, man.
Yeah, there's other things I love more than college
hoops.
Okay, all right. Okay. The day I go to Asheville, North Carolina. Not sure what day of the year that is, but it's a day I go.
It's that's not even Asheville, North Carolina Day. That is whatever that
his
that
job
is.
In life is to try to bother us with things.
So my life revolves.
You're the only one who's bothered.
My life revolves around parties, obviously, because Christmas is always a party at my house. Halloween is our biggest party of the year, our second biggest party of the year, and I'm taking this away from you. The 3rd of July.
The 3rd
of July is my second biggest party of the year. So I'm going 3rd of July.
3rd of July is a great day in Nashville.
Not the 4th, the 3rd of July. We always have a 3rd of July party, as my wife says, because when she was a kid, she couldn't say 3rd.
And the theory there, of course, is that most holidays, you've got family obligations or, you know, other obligations you need to go to in your community. The 4th of July, there's literally no obligations anybody has, so you don't have to wake up for anything. Party on the 3rd of July.
Well, and by having a party on the 3rd, you're not getting in the way of the fireworks displays that people want to go see on the 4th. They could just come to the house. So 3rd
of
July.
Unless you're from a small town, and then they have their fireworks show on the 3rd.
That is true.
Because they can't afford to get it on the 4th.
That is very true. So that brings Melody back on the clock.
The first Wednesday in March.
Which is what day?
The spring solstice?
No, it's World Maths Day, and you can go online, and there are mathletic competitions. So it's like 60-second math games that you can play.
So far, you've picked National Pi Day, Mole Day, and World Math Day.
PI
Day.
Yeah, make sure they know.
And World Math Day. You are crushing this thing for that. The three math people that listen to the show, Braden is like,
Julian didn't even pick a day of the year.
Yeah, he picked Asheville, North Carolina Day, apparently.
Oh, this is awful. All right, I will take... See, I love New Year's Eve, but that's too much college football and amateur hour. I'm going to go Memorial Day. I get the Indianapolis 500. I get NBA playoffs, some NHL playoffs. I get Major League Baseball. I get a three-day weekend. I get to celebrate the troops. I love Memorial Day. My family's always been a big holiday in our family with Memorial Day, so I will take Memorial Day. I generally spend it in Indianapolis for the race. It's a special day for us and our family, so I'll take Memorial Day.
And then you circle right back on the clock.
So I guess I'll do this because no one else is going to do it. I'll take Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, that's a good one.
In the fourth round. Really interesting debate, though, between divisional round, championship Saturday, and the Super Bowl. Those are all three really great NFL days, but I got to take Super Bowl Sunday. Unfortunately, I wish Monday was a holiday.
Yeah, me too. I wish they would do that. So that brings us back to so you finished up with Thanksgiving, the College Football National Championship night, Memorial Day, and Super Bowl Sunday, and now we have Melody back.
I'm really conflicted because there are a couple picks that I want to make, but when you did Super Bowl Sunday, it reminded me of one of my favorite days of the year. And that's WrestleMania Day.
Oh, that's actually going to do really well for you. That's the one.
That's the one.
WrestleMania Day. So you ended up with National PI Day, Guacamole Day, Mole Day, World Math Day, and WrestleMania Day.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yikes.
Well, here's the thing. I figured this late my pick was going to be the first day of the NFL season. Like, that's a huge day for me.
It's a Thursday.
But you guys have absolutely left open Christmas, so I'm going to take...
You take 2 days back-to-back?
Yes. I mean, I'm going to take Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so I end up with Christmas Eve, Halloween, 3rd of July, and Christmas Day. Like, I'm pretty happy with
pretty
that.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I feel good about pretty that. Good.
They're pretty common.
I am common.
Wow. I wanted to educate people.
Is that a shot fired?
Aren't most of my picks?
You're definitely not common.
Think about my.
That one's bald, black, and a rapper. That's not you.
Oh yeah, my
and
bad.
And you can't act.
I'm future. No. Okay.
How do you know Fitzy doesn't act?
He said he's common.
I think you're a great thespian.
Thank you so
that's
much.
That's not the common I know.
What's your pick, Julian? You close out all of this, Mr. Very Relevant. How do you close this?
My final pick is May 20th. Which is Mech Deck Day, the day the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence was signed in 1775, declaring independence from Great Britain. Now, I understand that here in America, we like to recognize July 4th, 1776. Just want to let you know that Thomas Jefferson and most of those guys who signed a document were all frauds, and they stole the true Declaration of Independence that was signed on May 20th in 1775 in Charlotte, North Carolina, in Mecklenburg County, Mech Deck Day. Is one of my favorite days of the year.
So,
and that's the day I celebrate. I don't celebrate the 4th of July. I don't celebrate the 3rd of July, not even the 5th of July.
Definitely not counterculture.
To recap, you got April Fool's Day, Oscar Sunday, whatever day that you choose to go to Asheville, North Carolina, and Mech Deck Day.
Yes.
So Braden and I are in a two-horse race on this one. This is I feel pretty good about
this. It's you and me, baby.
Yeah, this is. I feel good that I'm going to be able to claim at least a top two finish.
I have the national championship and Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I got.
You have Christmas and Halloween.
Yeah, this has been the most interesting midweek mock in history. Maybe where the midweek mock goes to die. You guys can chime in at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz. It was good. It was very interesting. At Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz, your favorite day of any sort. You can get to us. You can also obviously chime in 615-737-1025. You can always chime in. I want to have some great tease of what we're going to go to next.
I feel like someone's mocking the mock draft. I feel like that's what's taking place now.
I'm stunned. I'm so stunned right now. Last night's Preds game was great. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Sure. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You guys are chiming in. Johnny, one of our favorite tweeters, is very complimentary of my picks, obviously. I said, these fools want to hand me 3 in a row. Nate came in and said, intern of science is the math guru of the show. We did learn that. We already knew that. She's way too smart for us. But
she's
we
knew that, yes.
And Matthew Fry came in and said, how has Super Bowl Sunday not been picked on a sports show? At that point in the draft, to which I would say, my team never plays on Super Bowl Sunday, so it's not that much fun for me,
and
Matt.
And it technically did get picked eventually. Yeah. John on Stewart also says, midweek mock was like a mascot race at the ballpark. Two are running strong. The other two crashed in turn one. It's like the giant sausage race in Milwaukee or the president's heads at the Nationals Park. Good stuff there.
Johnny also sent out a great little gift gif of the Spartans cheerleaders, implying that is the effort of intern of science, Melody.
What's that coming out of your speech? No, never mind.
So you can get out there on 102.5 The Game and vote for either Braden or I. Really.
Other days, opening day baseball did not get picked. Sunday at Augusta was high on my list. Sunday at Augusta is a pretty big one for me. The other one I thought about was Final Four Saturday night. When you get the two big games leading into the championship, because you get two games in one night. I like that one actually better than the championship game. That's a big one. 4th of July, New Year's Eve, great holidays there. I assumed someone would take Super Bowl Sunday. So I actually had championship Sunday in the NFL and then divisional round weekend, but you don't get both days. That weekend that you get four NFL football games, that's one of the best football weekends of the year, where you get two in the NFC and two in the AFC for the right to go play in the AFC and NFC championship games. That's one of the best days of the year. Selection Sunday's a great day. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament, but that's a weekend, so it's hard to narrow down which day is better. So those are some of the other ones that I had on my list.
I will say that so far, early running on the 102.5 The Game poll, but according to the early running, intern of science, first place. So
actually, I might be rooting for her now.
Yeah, I think everybody has realized she's so smart that we're like, you know what? We should all vote for her because then we will also be smart. Who knew National Pie Day? What was the other one?
Mole Day.
Yeah, I do love me some guacamole. So
I do too. That's
about the smartest thing we'll ever say. Randy and Franklin chiming in. Randy, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey guys, I think you missed a good one. Second Thursday in April, first day of the Masters.
Oh, that's a good one too.
And I debated that.
Thanks for the call, Randy.
I would take Sunday at Augusta over Thursday, but that's just because it's the championship. I mean, that's all. I mean, it's awesome. All four of them are great, but if you have to pick one, I would take Sunday, obviously, just for the championship factor there.
Yeah, I think that the Sunday has all the magic and allure of it, but there's something about the beginning that it's same, like I said, with football
with baseball,
season. Like the beginning of the NFL season, the first Sunday of the NFL season is always kind of magical to me.
And like college football weekend is great. Like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you get five straight nights of college football, but again, that's a weekend. A great point by Zach. And this has not applied to you and I, Fitzy, in a long time. Zach says, what about the last day of school? Even though I don't go to school, still a great day. That is a high-quality pick by someone. If you are still in school, that would be number one on my board.
Yeah, the last day of school would be
That's pretty good.
But, you know, I'm so old that back then, like, you know, I can't even remember what that was like. But
really?
Yes.
You don't remember leaving school?
I believe the kids called it LDOC.
LDOC.
Last day of class.
Wow. Wow, I've never heard that.
When we were kids, we definitely didn't have a name for it.
Yeah, acronyms
were
big.
You guys were kids, you were nerds.
Yeah. Well, we still might be nerds. Yeah. Acronyms weren't cool then because we didn't have 140 characters to express ourselves.
Right, right. You know, I was just worried about getting a SIG on my beeper. little hangover reference there.
Is there payphones here?
This isn't the actual Caesar's Palace, right? Like, Caesar didn't live here, right? I didn't think so. I don't know, guys. Speaking of nothing, I can't. There's no nice segue that's going to give hangovers. No hangover for the Preds as they get from as they continue to play well at Bridgestone last night. You and I talked about it early this morning. I thought it was a real encouraging moment to see the team come out when they are battling some of the injuries they're battling, to see them come out and play as well as they played last night in a game that, darn it, they're expected to win. They should win. They did win. They did exactly what you expect a good hockey team to do. But the more separation I get from last night, the more I do look at it and say, man, it just feels like to answer my own question of will this be the regular season Preds from last year or the playoff Preds from last year, it feels like this is the playoff Preds from last year. Like, that's the carryover.
And all we have to go on is what we've seen so far. Doesn't mean they're not going to have bad stretches. That's pretty natural in a hockey season. But as of right now, above 500 much earlier than they were last year. Took them, I think, 12, 13 games to get to the above 500 mark. We all know they started 2-5-1 last year. They're already 3-2-1 this year. I think really since the fifth goal by the Flyers in the home opener, when they were down 5-3, since that moment, they've played really good hockey. They scored three goals at the end of that game. They come back and win on a Thursday night. They play their best game of the season was in an overtime loss against Chicago, and then they sort of execute the way they're supposed to last night. And I like that they go down 1-0 and then drop the hammer and come back and score four straight goals. I like that it's guys like Sissons and Watson getting into the scoring mix there. Shows that in a night when you don't have Nick Bonino and you don't have Ryan Ellis and you have to play Freddie Goudreau, we all love Freddie Hockey, on a night where that all takes place, you go out and you still dominate. Pekka played really well. So I think you kind of – Forsberg and Subban are still just outstanding right now, leaders of the team as they should be. Victor Arvidsson gets a goal and an assist and just salutes the crowd, of course, the new salute, his goal-scoring Terrell Davis-style celebration, which is pretty cool. Just an all-around, you know, sort of beer game that you want to see against a really bad team. And you pick up some ground in the standings. I don't know when the right time is to start looking at the standings. I think, like, I feel like 30 games in, even.
Yeah,
like, maybe 20
wait, yeah.
games in, you don't even really need to look at the standings. So just go out and focus on yourself, and I think the Preds did that last night. Good quality win. No real massive takeaway from the game because that's a game you're supposed to win. But winning games you're supposed to – like. So I saw this stat on – it all comes back to college football for me. I saw this stat on Alabama. They have 71 consecutive wins over unranked opponents. If they win two more, it goes to 73 and they tie the record. No one's even more than 20 right now. They're like 50 ahead of the next team. And everybody says, oh, you're supposed to win those games. And then Reese Davis last night on TV goes, We just had half the top 10 in college football lose to unranked opponents. So losing to Colorado can happen if you're the Preds team.
Right.
You still have to go out and execute in those games, and that was a good sign for the Preds last night. And again, really good stretch of hockey ever since giving up five consecutive goals to the Flyers in the home opener. They've been really good ever since then.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it earlier, and I think it's a really valid point too. Ever since they sort of kicked it in at the end of that Philly game, it's just been a different team. There's just been sort of this swagger and this confidence. You can see it. Speaking of swagger and confidence from the Stars, after the game, Jeremy Gover and Chase McCabe, two of our favorites, got the chance to catch up with a couple of the Stars for the Preds last night. When we come back, you'll hear from them and hear what they had to say after the game. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick going to join us in just a few minutes. I do love this song, Julian. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea why you played it, but it makes my whole heart happy. You can get out to 102.5 The Game Twitter account, by the way, and vote for the midweek mock. Get out there and check it out. So after the game last night, obviously we've been talking about it today, a big 4-1 win for the Preds. After the game, a couple of our guys were down there, Jeremy Gover and Chase McCabe, and each of them had the chance to catch up with a few of the Preds stars. So first up, want you to hear this, Jeremy Gover talking to Colton Sissons after the game.
Downstairs here with Colton Sissons. Colton, that seemed like a sloppy play from both teams in the first period, but then the last four, you guys really all put it together.
Yeah, it was a little bit sloppy in the first for sure. Pucks bouncing and turnovers left, right, and center, so kind of settled down into the game after that.
Do you just fight through a game like that kind of has that kind of tone to it where, like, passes aren't crisp and the puck is bouncing over sticks?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of have to dumb your game down and really play smart and really efficient because, you never know if that puck's going to hop on you or what's going to happen if you're trying to send those cross-ice passes. So just playing simple, and it's the most effective way to do it.
Seeing Pecorine play so well early on, he played the whole game well, of course, but early on, I'm saying, set the tone like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was so sharp tonight. Just on top of his game, so it's a great sign to see for us.
You get your first goal of the season, obviously, but then you also picked up a penalty. What was the explanation there for you?
I didn't ever really get one, to be honest, but I guess they thought I ran him over without any pressure on my back, and we thought the alternative, so it is what it is.
And finally, what do you take from this game and maybe the last few games going into the rest of the week?
Yeah, just we're a confident group now, getting points in every game in the past week or so, and just really feeling like our game's coming around. So it's a good feeling, but we got a long way to go here.
Colton Sisson, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Great stuff from our very own Jeremy Gover. And Gover's right. It started a little sloppy, but there was sort of a explosive moment, I thought, for the Preds where even though it started sloppy, the Preds didn't feel slow. There's a difference between sloppy and slow. And when they feel slow, feels like sometimes it's hard for everything to get engaged. That wasn't the case last night. It's just sort of one of those games where they were having a hard time to get rhythm early on. But once they got that rhythm, it was pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, and even sometimes when you're playing so fast, that can lead to sloppy play. But bogged down play, you're going to get beat. And that's sort of how they looked against Boston in the season opener. When they played Boston, they just looked like a significantly slower team. And that, home opener for the Boston Bruins and all that good stuff. Yeah, fast play can lead to sloppy play. You just don't want slow play to lead to sloppy play. That's when you're in really, really big trouble. So it was a little sloppy at first. Then they get some penalties and they get on the power play and they score some goals. They've been really good in the power play so far. PK Subban and Arvidsson and Forsberg, those guys have been great on the power play. So I kind of like that they went down 1-0 at home to a really bad team. And then they said, all right, let's see what happens now. And they just flat out put the pedal to the metal after that.
I really wanted you to say not up in here, just to continue.
Not up in here?
The hangover thread.
Not up in here.
No, the hangover, never mind. No hangover for Philip Forsberg. He, after the game, talked to Chase McCabe. This is our very own Chaz McCabe hanging out with Philip Forsberg.
Philip, let's start with this. You and Victor Arvidsson obviously have a lot of chemistry. That play in the second period that would end up tying this game, what did you see and how did that all work out for you?
First of all, a great play by Emmy to kind of get the puck up to me on the blue line. Then from there it was 2-1 and basically a 4-on-1, I think, with Jost and Joey joining too. And I just held it and obviously Arvidsson was open and pass.
You have been off to quite the start offensively. Two assists tonight, no goals. But what is it that has made your your game just start off so hot?
No, I think we're basically just trying to pick up on where we left off last year with Joey and Arby. I think we've been playing well, working hard, and I mean playing with those guys, we always obviously know each other really well, and it's been clicking so far.
Philip, 1 of 5 on the power play tonight. I know that there are injuries on this team right now, but the extra man continues to work for you guys. What's making it so successful?
I think it's just shooting a lot of pucks. I mean, going through the net and getting greasy there. I think that's the biggest thing.
Another Central Division opponent. You guys win 4-1. That's now 7 straight over the Avalanche. You guys seem to have their number.
It's tough. I mean, we try. Obviously, they're a skilled team. We know what they can do when you give them chances. I think that's basically been the mindset. Just play hard and play smart. And I think that's been the thing.
Philip, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Philip Forsberg talking to Chase McCabe after the game, and Forsberg sort of matter of fact with everything, and he's right. There is a rhythm to what they're doing, and they have been clicking, and you can see that. I don't think that surprises anybody. Again, it feels like if we were looking at in June, May and June, and looking at it and saying what pieces of this are going to fly forward, it feels like more pieces have made it through the offseason than I would have expected. There's so much rhythm still between the guys that have played together. PK is somebody you've mentioned a couple times together today that has sort of stepped into his role and played just flat out better early in the season than he did last year because he's not learning a new system.
Or dealing with the back injury.
Right, and that's a great point too. So I feel like a lot of this has flown forward. Jofa obviously being a huge part of that. This is one of those appreciated moments for the Preds in general. Appreciate what that line is because it's been a long time and it may be a long time.
Well, and they're locked up for minimum 5 years. Forsberg's contract's 5, Victor's 7, and Johansson's 8. And they've been dominant. If you look at, I'm not going to get deep into Corsi numbers and stuff, but they've dominated possession when they're on the ice together. They've outscored the other lines, I think 4-1 through 6 games. So they've just been absolutely dominant when they're together. So it's sort of a proven commodity, and that's why I wouldn't. Listen, we can't take too much away from a win over a Colorado team that's largely expected to be the worst in the division. So you can't really take too much away from that and say, oh, this team is going to be amazing. But we know how dominant Jofa can be when they're together. And that's why I would not be surprised that as the season goes along and you deal with more, integrating more pieces into the puzzle and Bonino comes back and, maybe you get a call up or two from Milwaukee or somebody gets hurt or there's a trade. Like, things just happen and the roster gets tweaked. Would not be surprised if Lavi goes away from Jofa because he knows he can always put them back together at any point during any game and probably get pretty good production out of it. So that's why it should never be – just like it should never be a surprise if UC Saros makes a start, it should never be a surprise if he breaks up Jofa because he knows he can go right back to it and get exactly what he wants out of it. And that's really what they've shown mid-season form right now today. They're already playing at an elite level. The contracts haven't affected Arvidsson or Johansson at all. They're playing at a high level. Arvi is just absolutely one of the most charming players in on this team and in this roster and in this locker room ever, probably. He just endears himself to the fans so quickly. And I imagine that 33 is going to be a pretty high-selling jersey for kids in this city for years to come.
Yeah, I absolutely. By the way, speaking of all this Preds love, I should remind everybody, Smashville Live, the next Smashville Live is down at Tin Roof on Broadway. So Tin Roof on Broadway on October 25th. They're always a blast. Last time we had basically the entire country of Finland there. This time we're going with Johansson and Bonino are both going to be there. So going to be an awesome opportunity to hear.
The centerman edition.
Right. So you'll get to hear from obviously one of the key players for the Preds for the last couple of years and also one of the key new additions, if not the key new addition, which is in and of itself surprising that Nick Bonino, not surprising, but I think it's a testament to where the franchise is, that the biggest acquisition of the offseason can be a non-factor right now because of injury. And it's not a big deal. It's like, we're good. It's almost like hey, take your time, like we've been talking about with Andrew Luck. Take your time, get yourself healthy. This is a long-term thing. We're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and you talked about sort of what has played forward from last year's run into this year. And, there were a lot of questions this summer about what kind of role can Kevin Fiala have? Can he step into that role and fill the void by James Neal? Pontus Aberg, Freddie Goudreau, what do these guys bring to the table? From a youth standpoint, are they capable of contributing? Colton Sissons, hat trick in Game 6 against Anaheim. Are these guys capable of contributing at the same level as they did in the postseason? And while I'm not ever going to say they will do it like that, Freddie Goudreau's not going to score three or four goals in a seven-game stretch, and Sissons isn't going to score hat tricks. I mean, that's not what they're going to do. But last night you saw Watson with a frosty goal. You saw Colton Sissons with a Big Mac goal and two goals that put the game away. And Colton Sissons was flying all over the place. So I think you're seeing those pieces sort of still continue to have the impact they had at the end of the season so far this year. You need a lot more body of work to start saying, yes, Pontus Aberg deserves a spot in the lineup every night. But I think you have seen that carryover, and the depth really is the takeaway there. It is about the depth. The depth looks like it's pretty good. So even if they feel like they need to go make a move, they have lots of really good – Sam Girard didn't even play last night.
Right.
So they don't need – who arguably is the fifth best defenseman. By the way, Alexi Emelin, nice, probably his best game in a Predator uniform last night. But Sam Girard is a complete luxury at this point, potentially. So Ryan Ellis hasn't even played – won't play for months. Like, they're setting it all up for a January, February, March run that could be very, very deep and talented on this roster.
By the way, Alexi Emelin, the third star last night. Roman Josi, second star. Victor Arvidsson, first star. So
yeah, I forgot to mention, by the way, the captain's back.
Yeah, that's just
lost
just small,
in all of this.
Just small moment there. But that again, that speaks to the positives that are there. Speaking of positives, always a positive when we get to talk to Willie Donick, one of our favorite things that we can do. You know, Willie will give us his perspective on what he's seen as we try and do a better job this year of being calculated in seeing it and analyzing what we see in larger groups of time. We're trying not to be as jump up and down Kermit the Frog, running up and down the halls with arms flailing after every win or loss. So we'll get the thoughts from maybe the most measured of all of us that work around the Preds in Coach Willie. Willie Donick will join us up next. We'll see what Willie's thoughts are so far in this young hockey season, what he's seen that he likes and dislikes from the Preds. We'll do all that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz coming at you live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link of Mount Juliet. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. And as we do every single week on Wednesdays, we get to end the show with a little crosstalk. We get to end the show think of it less of an ending and more of a bridge, a subtle, fantastic, sweet, sweet bridge to get you from Braden and Fitz all the way to 3D by talking to our very own Willie Donick. Willie, thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
So talk to me a little bit because, again, our goal is to be more measured as we look at what the Preds are doing this season and less panicky in the process of it. So that means less ups and downs. So I need a little Coach Willie so far because it's easy to feel pretty up the way the last few games have gone. Is it time for me to get excited and start doing a bunch of jumping jacks and cartwheels, or are you still kind of looking at this thing saying, where's it headed?
Well, I think it's headed in the right direction. I think the expectations should be high, and I think with each passing game, the team has played more and more solid with their team structure, what they're trying to do. Good example last night. I think the Colorado Avalanche are a better team than they were last year. They couldn't be much worse, to be honest, but I do think they're a whole lot better, at least right now. They've got everybody in place. They're a deeper, quicker team. And I thought the Predators really turned it up as the game went along. So I think you have a lot of cause for optimism here. But I do see what you're saying. I mean, there are going to be some ups and downs over the course of an 82-game season. You hope it's not as tough a ride as it was in the regular season last year.
Is it just coincidence that Victor Arvidsson is wearing number 33 and gets the first star of the game the night Colin Wilson returns to the building?
That was odd. I honestly, on my chart, I started to write down Colin Wilson in Sharpie, which is not a good thing to do, when I wrote down 33 for the Predators. I had to cross it out and say, wait a minute, that's not Colin Wilson anymore. It was odd seeing him out there, and I think he's going to do a good job. But one thing that we touched on during the broadcast last night, when you really look at the way the roster was shaped in the offseason, it happened on the same day, just a couple hours apart. The Predators signed Scott Hartnell, who had been bought out for the Blue Jackets and available at a bargain price, $1 million. He's still being paid a handsome sum by the Blue Jackets because they cut him loose. But they saw the opportunity to get Hartnell, and they cleared space by trading Colin Wilson. So it's not a straight-up trade, but really when you look at the roles that are being played, they took the chance that Hartnell at $1 million at age 35 would be more valuable going forward than Colin Wilson at the remaining part of his contract, which is about $3.5 million, somewhere in there. And so far, so good. Scotty Hartnell has played tremendous. Nothing against Colin Wilson. I think he's going to have a solid year for the Avalanche. But Scott Hartnell has been fantastic so far.
We're talking to Willie Donick. So, Willie, in the summer, the big offseason acquisition, obviously, was Nick Modino. What's it say about this team and the depth, though, that even when he's not in there due to injury, the team's able to sort of soldier on and it doesn't seem to cause that big of a disruption?
I think time will tell. I mean, they're going to need Nick Bonino over the course of the year. He does a lot of really good things. But depth is going to be important for any team, and I think it says a lot that they have a guy like Freddie Gaudreau that they can call up and throw in there. And he did exactly what I think he was charged to do and what they thought he would do. And Colton Sissons took on more responsibility last night as well. I still think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you need a good contribution from Bonino. And there are a lot of people around the league that are saying if the Predators could add one position, it might be a little bit more skilled second-line center. But what they have essentially is five centers that are all very solid two-way players, and Gaudreau being the fifth. So he was the odd man out at training camp, but he comes up, does a great job.
Will, you see Anthony Boteto get like 13, 14 minutes of ice time last night, and certainly Alexi Emelin probably plays his best game in a Predators uniform. With Roman Josi back, does that mean we expect to see Sam Girard sort of on the bench now for a little while, or is it all matchups? How do you see that playing out?
It's hard to know. I think a lot of it does depend on how productive Boteto can be with Matt Irwin on the third pair, and how well does Roman Josi mix with Matthias Ekholm. That is something that has just sort of taken shape the last few games. Emelin has certainly stepped up. He's played much better. He's fitting in much more the way that they hoped he would when they signed him. It was a little iffy there for training camp, but he's really playing solid hockey right now with PK Subban. So now, who's the right guy to play with Roman Josi? When you play him with Ekholm, Ekholm has to move over to his offside, which is not as comfortable for him, but he's a good enough player to where I think he can adjust. It looked a lot better last night. So what does that mean for Girard? We'll see. I think in a perfect world, they hope they don't need Sam Girard. They would like not to burn that first year of the contract, but he's such a dynamic talent, it's going to be tempting.
What, in your mind, what's the best situation, not from the team's standpoint, but from Sam's point, what's the best for him personally?
Well, from a monetary standpoint, it's pretty simple.
Sure, but from
start making some money.
But from a development standpoint, from making this game the
best. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And honestly, that is what David Poile is not going to lose sight of. They don't want to hurt his development. I think they would tell you that when they kept Scott Hartnell at age 18, they regretted it after that year. They thought it might have been better for his development to not play that first season in Nashville. Now, Scotty Hartnell might say, hey, it was a great experience, but that was tough because the team was so young. The team was in its second or third year, if I can't remember, and it was, you know, they were a long way from winning, so was it really worth that first year in the league? There were some positives and negatives. So I think that it could go either way. They would be all right. One thing to keep in mind, too, Sam Girard has a really good chance of making Team Canada for the World Junior Championships, and that's a really good tournament to play in for your development. You play against the best players in the world at your age, so that's something to keep your eye on. That's right around the December or Christmas time.
When do we expect to see UC Saros next, Willie?
Good question. I think there are going to be times. They don't play a lot of back-to-backs right now, so they're going to have to schedule times to get him in. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets one of these two games on the road. I haven't talked to anybody about the plan yet, but they definitely right now want to make sure that Pekka Rinne gets his rest. He's playing really well right now, so it's going to be hard to take him out. But at the same time, UC Saros needs to play. He's a very good goalie that they trust. So, again, if I had to speculate, I think he really has a shot at getting into one of these two games.
So, Willie, I want to get your thought on a little expertise here. Obviously, a coaching change was made this summer when Housley went up and became the head coach of the Sabres. I know it's a small body of work, but have you seen any big differences so far with the new staff?
We talked to Kevin McCarthy yesterday, and he says, you know what, going back before he got to Nashville, he'd always coached the defenseman for the most part in his career. He's a former defenseman himself. So he's just as comfortable, if not more comfortable, working with the defense pairings. So I haven't seen a big difference. I do think Phil Housley is a unique coach and obviously an unbelievable player, has a great eye for the game. And I think he's made his mark, particularly on Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, and Ryan Ellis. Those three guys, I think, develop huge under Phil Housley. The other guy that I'm still getting to know some is Dan Muse. And one thing he's running is the penalty kill. And lately the penalty kill has been really good. They got a tough break last night when a puck went off of Roman Josi's skate. That was the only goal that the Avalanche allowed. But I think he's doing some good things there. I think he's still getting used to the team. And I think the team's getting used to him. But I think good things are coming. They really like what he's bringing to the table.
It's fantastic stuff. You can obviously hear him after we're done here. Stick around and check out 3D as always. Willie Donick, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right, guys, off to Philadelphia and a rematch with the Flyers tomorrow night. Then a matinee, breakfast with Darren McFarlane on 102.5 The Game for the pregame show at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday.
Ooh, going to be awesome.
Love it.
Thanks, Willie. Yeah. Appreciate you. Great stuff from Willie. We do want to let everybody know a little breaking NFL news. It looks like DeShone Kizer has been confirmed as the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback for Sunday's game. So the Titans will face DeShone Kizer in this game, not Hogan. So that it's going to be a weekly sort of battle for the Browns figuring out who their starting quarterback is. It is total chaos there, and they are hands down. I cannot say this loud enough. They are the worst franchise in the NFL right now. Nobody's playing football at a lesser level than the Browns are today. So I cannot stress that enough.
So big news for the defense, obviously going to face him coming up. He was, by the way, I believe I saw this ranking. He's the lowest rated third down passer in the NFL. I believe I saw that stat circulating yesterday on the socials. So also, very rarely do the three of us always agree on something. You tweeted it out. I tweeted it out. And Julian tweeted it out. Chris Long now donating the rest of his salary this entire season to help educate equality efforts. So that is called walking the walk right there. He never kneeled for the anthem. He never did anything like that. He stood next to somebody who maybe did or put his arm around somebody who did. But I don't know what else you can ask a guy to do than donating all of his salary to
even
help,
if he did, wouldn't diminish this act.
This is unbelievable.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. This is unbelievable.
And by the way, he donated the beginning of his salary as well to a scholarship fund in Charlottesburg. So he is
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville.
Awful place either way.
But my bad.
They still deserve scholarship opportunity.
But ultimately, you're talking about somebody that has now given up his entire salary for all of the NFL season, everything up to now, and now everything moving forward. For putting his money where his mouth is. Great work by him.
That's inspirational stuff, folks. So we'll end the show on that note.
Always great work by 3D. They're coming up next. I don't know what they're doing. It'll be better than what we just did. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council, Melody, thank you so much for hanging out with Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game, guys. Do it again tomorrow.